You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
All right, well, I guess I'm up next. And the series that we're in throughout this entire retreat is confident leadership. We're talking about what confident leadership looks like. And the last few teachings have all been about confident leadership examples from the Old Testament. We looked at Joshua. We looked at Jonathan. We talked about these guys, David, the way that they stood up in the midst of terrifying circumstances. And I agree with what Slim was saying last night, that there are times where you look and you wish, you kind of wish that our giants were physical giants, right? Like, it'd be awesome if we could just be made into these awesome badass warriors who could just go fight actual, you know, people, it seems. I do wonder that if you're like an ancient Israelite and they were like looking ahead at us somehow, they'd be like, man, it'd be really nice if, you know, my giant was just like this thing called a mortgage, you know. I don't really want to fight Philistines. I would much rather do what you guys are doing. The grass is truly always greener on the other side of the millennium, I guess. But yeah, confident leadership really comes from a lot of different places. I'm going to be moving into the New Testament as we think about the unique privileges that we have as New Testament leaders and believers when it comes to leadership. And leadership should come from many different places. You think about faith in God. That is the primary source of confident leadership, is it not? We believe in God. We trust God. We know that He can do the impossible, and He's imbued us with spiritual power. Confident leadership comes from resting in the grace of God, knowing that even when I make mistakes, even when I fall short, that God is still there working through me, even in a state of weakness. His love, His mercy never goes away. No matter how bad I mess up, it's always there. It's always there for me. That gives me confidence as I step out to lead. 2 years ago at the Servant Team Retreat, I argued that a personal sense of calling is an important part of being a spiritual leader. You have to be able to look back to when God called you and to consider the circumstances under which you were first made a spiritual leader and believe that God did not make a mistake, but He has sent you for a purpose. And I still think that's important. But this morning, what I want to talk to you guys about is a tertiary yet still critical source of confident spiritual leadership, and that's the confidence that comes from leading as a member of the body of Christ. We are not alone. Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel, could not necessarily be confident that he was surrounded by like-minded spiritual people. In fact, he had lots of reason to believe the opposite, right? That scene when he comes down from the mountain and sees all the people having a pagan orgy in front of a golden calf, like, and Aaron, his second in command, is like responsible for what's happening. When Moses was like, it's just me, that wasn't just negativity, that was really true. Like, he really was the only one. But we are not alone. We are surrounded by people who are equally in contact with the Spirit and the power of God, empowered in the same way that we are. And so that's significant. Romans 12:3 reads, "For by the grace that has been given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." So Romans 12 begins with this powerful statement of individual consecration to God. He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your act of worship. And so there's this beginning, powerful statement. It's only rivaled by when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. No matter what anyone else chooses to do, you choose to follow me. But then interestingly, in Romans 12, Paul immediately supplies the corrective. He says, in the midst of your personal consecration, in the midst of your personal dedication to me, he says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Sometimes there could be a spiritual pride that comes from saying, you know, no matter what, I'm going to stay the course. But he says, here's the thing though, as a New Testament leader, it's not just you. He says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Why? Because each of us has one body with many members, and these members have not all the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so we are truly not alone. Leaders are ultimately, but powerfully, we're simply but powerfully members of the body of Christ. We don't stand in some other category. We're not a part of, you know, something completely different, a different echelon. We are members of the body of Christ, living out a role in the body of Christ. All roles and all gifts and all opportunities are from God. Some of us have the gift of leadership. Some of us do not have the gift of leadership. But regardless of our gifts, regardless of our opportunities, they all come from God, and all of these things are given by the grace of God in the context of the body of Christ. And being in the body of Christ means that we can be confident of our gifts, our insights, and our contributions, because we know that they've been apportioned rightly, that God has divided them just as he intended, with full knowledge of weaknesses, of strengths, and everything in the body. And so I can confidently exercise my gifts because I'm a member of the body. And not only does this give us confidence in the exercise of our own gifts and the operation of the roles that God has put us in, but it should also give us confidence in the insights and the contributions, the gifts of others. Both of these things should be there for us. So we should be confident in ourselves because we have been put in the body, but we should also be confident in those around us. And so we can be confident leaders in part because we have been put in the body of Christ and because we have great reason to be confident in one another. When you think of the body of a star athlete, it works in perfect concert, right? When you think of Serena Williams, one of the greatest athletes of this generation, when you think of her returning a tennis serve, the ball is just, you know, careening across the court, bouncing, and her eye judges the speed at which the ball is coming, and her arm automatically comes to return the ball, sending it right back over the net. And this is how the body of a star athlete works. Perfect coordination. The members of her body are not second-guessing themselves, but they're also not second-guessing each other. The arm just takes the data coming in from the eye, and it automatically does what it's supposed to do. And when the body of Christ works like this, where there is trust, where there is confidence among the members and the other parts of the body, then as the body of Christ, we shake our city with the power of God. Now, we all know, though, that the body of Christ does not always operate like the body of a star athlete. Oftentimes, we operate like the body of a clumsy teenager, right? We look a lot less like Serena Williams and a lot more like this woman, whatever's happening here. But I think it's important to notice that regardless of whether we're operating like Serena Williams or a clumsy teenager, we are still the body of Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, and because God has made us this way, knowing full well all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses, we can be confident in one another despite our corporate deficiencies. If you look at Paul in his writing, he is constantly expressing confidence in other believers. It's pretty amazing. And this confidence is expressed in different ways. There's the general confidence that we see from Paul. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus." That's just a statement of theological fact, right? It's theological confidence. Anyone who's a believer, you can say that this is true of them, that God is at work within them. They have access to the gifts and the resources of God. It's all there simply because they are in Christ. But that's a reason for confidence. There's also circumstantial confidence. This is confidence that is not just informed by theological fact, it's also informed by experience. In 2 Corinthians 7, ironically, Paul says, "I have great confidence in you. I take pride in your behalf and I'm filled with encouragement." In context, this is when he's talking about their repentance to his original rebuke from 1 Corinthians. He's talking about the way in which they have disciplined this errant member and are now welcoming him back into the body of Christ. And so he's confident, based on what he knows about them, that they will do the right thing. That these guys, that there are spiritual people among them, and they're going to do what's right. 2 Thessalonians 3:4, "We are confident about you and the Lord, that you are both doing and will do what we are commanding." And so that's more of a circumstantial, but yet spiritual confidence. And then finally, there's personal confidence. And personal confidence is the kind of confidence you have in a close friend. You think of what Paul says to Philemon. He says, "I'm confident of your obedience, and I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask." It's not just a general confidence in a group of people, but this is a specific confidence, one that's been tested through a close relationship. And I think the reason it's so important to notice that there are these different ways that Paul expresses confidence is because we also have layered reasons to be confident in one another. It's actually an impossibility that we will all have that sort of close, personal reason for confidence in each other. This is a diffuse 5,000 plus person church. I have to pastor it. I don't know the majority of you closely, but yet I still believe that there are reasons for me to be confident in you and for you to be confident in me. You might be in a new leadership team. Maybe you're part of a new sphere, whatever it might be. You may not have those reasons for personal confidence, but because we are in the body of Christ, there is reason for spiritual confidence in one another. Because we can look and see what God is doing, and we can call it good, and we can recognize it for what it is, knowing that we have been put in the body for a purpose. But confidence is the kind of thing, just like unity, it's very closely related to unity, it can easily be shaken. It has to be fought for. It has to be maintained. And there are all sorts of things that can shake our confidence in each other, right? I mean, there's past experiences. People stand against us. And not only do our members sin against us, but oftentimes the deepest wounds come from people that we've led alongside. People that we've been in the yoke with often hurt us more than anyone else. Those are the people that that's like the people you're in battle with, right? That's the most high tension points are often the people with whom you have to work the most closely. And so we can carry wounds. We can carry wounds that can last decades. Looking back at previous experiences in difficult home churches, ways in which we were wronged by someone else. And this can cause us to lose confidence in the people around us. We can project those experiences on new leaders, new friends, new co-leaders, whatever it might be, believing cynically that we're just going to experience the same thing over again. One thing we've all experienced recently is distance. Distance can shake confidence. Zoom does not make the heart grow fonder, does it? Not really. You've got that weird like angle where you're like looking straight up someone's nostrils, you know, for hours and hours and hours a week. That's not going to make you love somebody more. Yeah, and so there's a rebuilding that needs to happen as we kind of come back together to reestablish trust, to reestablish confidence in the people that God has put us to lead alongside. But completely apart from circumstances, completely apart from anything else, we have forces within us that actually undermine our confidence in each other. We are proud and we are judgmental. And we are so easily prone to scorning the contributions of others, to explaining them away or saying, you know, because of these faults, your contributions don't matter. I'm not going to extend my confidence to you. I had this experience just recently where my co-leaders called me out and pointed out that I was being overbearing, not listening, and controlling in our leaders' meetings. And I was really stung by that when I heard that, because that's the exact same feedback I got like 14 years ago when I started leading. And I had this moment where I was like, man, have I even changed at all? Like it was quite discouraging to hear that from the people that I was leading alongside at first. But as I was praying and as I was thinking about this more and more, I realized that over the course of the pandemic, I think a lot of us have regressed. We've regressed in certain ways because, you know, when you're put into a brand new situation, you often revert to things that feel comfortable, right? And for me, when the pandemic came into full swing, there was this need for assertive crisis leadership, right? And I'm actually pretty good at that kind of thing. I can throw myself into a situation and just go at it. And so I asserted a lot of control, maybe even necessary control during that time, just trying to move things around, you know, making game time decisions. But then as time went on, I never pried my fingers loose. I just kept operating in that exact same capacity. And so I'm very thankful for my co-leaders who said, you know, listen, I'm seeing the way you're talking to us. I'm seeing the way that you have to have your hand in everything. And it communicates a lack of trust, doesn't it? It communicates that you're not confident that we can step up and do what God has put us here to do. Man, I'm so thankful. Man, I'm so thankful for that feedback. But the point here is that pride and judgment shakes our confidence in others. My co-leaders did not give me a true reason to not be confident in them. I'm just proud. And because I'm proud, I do not extend my confidence to them. And so it's good to be reminded of such things. But let's move away from what shakes to what builds, okay? Let's move away from the things that undermine confidence to what can build confidence. Because if we've been put in the body and we can be confident in each other, then what does it look like to build that, especially as we step into a brand new world? We can gather together. Just getting back around each other is something that can reestablish that sense of confidence in the body of Christ. This is a picture from my home church meeting on Monday. We're all vaccinated. CDC approved right up here. And this was our first time being all together in the same room without masks, all there together. Some people still wore masks. They feel comfortable. It's fine. But we, even just that sense of being with each other, it was amazing how I left just feeling the sense of closeness with people I had not felt for a long time. I was looking around the room. I could see my co-leaders talking to different people, people using their gifts around the room. And so getting together and getting to see game time action in the body of Christ, that is something that can reestablish confidence in one another. Cooperation is something which can build confidence in other people. One thing that's been cool during the pandemic is there's been a lot of need for coordination, a lot of need for cooperation just between the different parts of our church. I've gotten to talk a lot with the adult sphere leaders. We've gotten to work with people from different home churches as we've navigated this weird time, and that's really cool. As we move into the summertime, I believe that this summer is going to be ripe with unique opportunities. That was what Brett was talking about, the need for initiation, and I think he's right on. It's going to be ripe with unique opportunities. And we're going to have chances to reach across, to coordinate with people from different home churches, different parts of this ministry. You know, we could be standoffish. We could, you know, be weird. We could stand back from each other and operate tribalistically. Or we could work together. We could work together and we could do something completely new in the city. We could take this church into the very next phase of God's plan for it if we would only be confident in one another and cooperate as God sends us out to do his work. I think one more thing that can establish confidence is to zoom out and just get the big picture in mind. Oftentimes, we lose confidence because we're focused on the details. We get lost in the minutiae. You know, we've got our criticisms, we've got our complaints, we've got our hurts. But if you step back for a moment and you think holistically about the body of Christ, and you think holistically about what God has put you in, it can make a difference. Do a little thought experiment with me. Imagine that a friend comes to you and he says, you know, dude, I've been checking out this really cool church in Indianapolis. And let me tell you about these guys. This church, they're not just one of those pastor up in front led churches. These guys have over 1,000 lay leaders. 1,000 lay leaders who on a weekly basis teach the Bible. They gather people. They disciple people. They gather people in groups. And not only do they gather these groups together of believers who are pouring into each other's lives on a weekly basis, but this group, they fund church planting movements around the world. Tens of thousands of people are impacted on a weekly basis by the ministry that happens in this church. Not only do they operate in small groups and house churches, but they also are starting new ministries around the city. Refugee ministries. Community clothing outreach ministries, all these different things. Just every part of the city, their members can be found starting new initiatives to serve people and to spread the love of Christ. So they're not just inward. In addition to that, unless you think they're an activistic church, they're not just activistic. They gather thousands of people on a weekly basis into prayer groups. People praying for the work of their house churches, for their friends, for their families, for their neighbors. Praying for large, big picture issues in the city, for justice, for all these different things, for refugees, for missionaries around the world. Thousands of people praying on a weekly basis. Not only that, but against the backdrop of everything going on in the last 121 days, this church has seen 108 salvations. That's sneaking up on Acts 2, adding to their number day by day type stuff. And that's in this context that this church is experiencing that. And if you zoom out even further, this is a church that has weathered a leadership transition, a PR crisis, for a lack of a better term, and a pandemic. And through all of this, this church has barely declined. And this is in a context in which George Barna says that 1 in 5 practicing Christians have dropped out of church life during the pandemic, and 29% of pastors have given real consideration to quitting in the past year. Let me ask you, what would it be like to be a leader in this church? How should they feel about their church? I hope they boast in the Lord. I hope they're proud. And of course, this is all tongue-in-cheek because we are living this. This is our church that we're talking about. We can't hesitate to call good what God is doing. Can't be backed into some sort of, you know, embarrassed, you know, kind of back foot about the power of God in our midst. We got to be able to look around the room, look at the people that God has put us with and be like, I'm so proud to be with these people. I'm so proud to stand with the people of God. We should be confident in one another. And we need to pray for perspective, because it is easy to just lose perspective and to only have your narrow vantage point. I do this. I'll have a bad situation in my home church and I'll project it on the entirety of our ministry. Because I'm having a hard time with this guy, you know, everything is bad. Yeah, not the case. But we need God to widen our perspectives and to give us his eyes for his work and for his people. And so let me just wrap up with a few recommendations that we can do as we seek to be confident in one another. We should meditate on the reasons that we have for confidence in one another, the reasons that we could be confident in each other. There's general reasons, there's theological reasons, there's circumstantial reasons, there's certainly personal reasons that we have for confidence, and we should think about those, we should pray about those. Jesus told us that when we are trying to evaluate whether or not something is from God, we should look at the fruit. In Matthew 7, it says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruit. If you want to know if something is from God, you should look at the fruit. Why is it that Paul, when talking about the church in Colossae, he said, we always thank God for you because we've heard of your faith in Jesus, the love you have for God's people, and the gospel is bearing fruit in you, growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing in you since the day that you first heard about it and understood God's grace. He'd never been to Colossae. How did he know it was good? He knew it was good because it was bearing fruit. He knew it was good because he could see the work of God there. And I think, again, even if we do not have reasons for personal confidence in the people that God has put us to lead alongside, we can certainly look around and see the fruit that God is bearing in each other's lives, in our ministries, and we can say, this is from God, and I will give glory to God for what he is doing. So we should express confidence. Leaders are not just the people who have to feel confident. We need to express it so that people can be inspired and be taught by the things that we say. So we must express confidence in our leadership teams. And not just in our teams, we should express confidence also in the church that God has given us to lead. We should be confident in what God has given us, and we should move forward with that confidence. When you're confident, accusations, attacks, they slide off. It's duck feathers, right? When you think about the middle of the season, the middle of the Buckeye season, every fall, there's all those dumb commentators who always talk about how the Buckeyes suck, right? Mark May, like all those guys, just going on and on about how, you know, the Buckeyes aren't that good, you know, OSU's a terrible organization, all that kind of stuff. We aren't bugged by it. Why aren't we bugged by it? Because we know that OSU is awesome. There's no part of you that hears them say that and like, oh man, like, maybe I won't wear my OSU shirt this week, you know, or something like that. It's like, no, we know that we might have, yeah, we're a little bit arrogant, we've got our flaws, but at the end of the day, we look at OSU and we're like, this is good. This is good. Certainly, we should have that kind of confidence in something so much greater that we are part of. And so my final word here is that we should lead with confidence because you are confident in the body of Christ. A lot of times when we're thinking of reasons to be confident, we just think too much about ourselves. We need to think more about what God is doing among us. We need to think about the people that God has called us to lead alongside. We need to think about his church. We need to think about the work of God happening throughout the world. We need to look at those things, and in those things, we can be confident.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.